Who would like to read about Peter?
I can read it.
Okay, Peter. John 6. Turn to John 6. Okay, Mom, go ahead. John 6.
To 69.
58 to 69, yes.
I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna, but will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Many of his disciples said, "This is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it?" Jesus was aware that his disciples were complaining, so he said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what will you think if you see the Son of Man ascend to heaven again? The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But some of you do not believe me. For Jesus knew from the beginning which ones didn't believe, and he knew who would betray him. Then he said, that is why I said that people can't come to me unless the Father gives them to me. At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, are you also going to leave? Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know you are the Holy One of God.
Amen. I'll just briefly comment on this. What I like about this is Jesus is giving them a very difficult teaching. In 58, anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna, but will live forever. So at the tail end of giving them this hard to understand, and it is hard to understand. Many want to, in the face of hard to understand teaching, they reject it outright. They say, I don't want to have anything to do with it. The atheist, the skeptic will say, well, you're off your rocker if you think God created everything. And so they won't surrender their own beliefs. So this is a way of me demonstrating that certain disciples, they were disciples, turned away and deserted Jesus because they could not accept what he had to say. However, Jesus asked the same question to the 12, are you also going to leave? Peter replied, to whom would we go? So Peter had this acceptance that Jesus is who he says he is. Peter was a believer in God, and he was steadfast in his faith. It's exactly what Job said. I have my faith in God, so therefore, I'll be okay because they have their faith in God. This doesn't mean that Peter understood what Jesus said. It doesn't mean that he's understanding him completely at all. All it means is he still accepts Christ for who he is, and that he's not going to leave Christ in the face of hard to understand teaching. So there's a bit about a faith of saying, God, I'm going to say whatever, I'm going to believe in you regardless of what you say, and that is submitting our understanding to him. It's saying, I'm open to what you have to share with me. Because sometimes we have preconceived ideas. Maybe we learned them in the past, or we want to believe this or that, and we're confronted with the truth of God's teaching. And at that point in time, we have to say, will I give up what I've learned before and accept what God has to say? So it's a matter of holding on to old arguments or old truths, so to speak, that and you're not accepting, and this can be scripture. Whatever beliefs we have contrary to the Word of God, we need to be willing to let go of. And that doesn't happen overnight. That happens from new teaching, that happens with the Holy Spirit, allowing us to experience some experiences will change our mind so that we can embrace what God has to say. Okay, so that's my only point there. Peter's he's a solid believer. I mean, he's maintained who God is, and I just love his words there. I mean, if anyone, I think everyone should come to that point. Where else would you go? He has the words to give eternal life, so he's convinced that Jesus is the Messiah. Pastor John, read from us Matthew 16.
Okay. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "Well, who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things for the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. You are not mindful of things of God, but things of man." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit is it for man gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. For surely I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom."
Amen. Amen. What I love about this passage is Simon Peter's confession in verse 16, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you." So we're all blessed because we it's been revealed to us who God is, and we have this confession ourselves that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. But in the same chapter, Peter still wants to argue with God. So there's always something in us, I think, that we want to fight with God on. I wholeheartedly believe, I don't think we'll ever get that out of our system. I think it's just our flesh that wants to argue with God. And Peter in verse 22 says, "This will never happen to you." So Jesus sets him straight. He says, get away from me, Satan. Acknowledging that he was tempted by Satan through what Peter said. Now, I don't know if that's Satan telling Peter what to say necessarily, or just Satan using Peter. I don't understand how that works, and I don't even want to go there. But nevertheless, he says, "You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things. Here's the key. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God." It's leaning on his own understanding. Peter's own understanding is that Jesus shouldn't die. And we all know that had to happen, and we get the benefit of looking at hindsight. Peter, of course, you know, why should Jesus die? But Jesus knew that wasn't the plan. That wasn't God's plan. So, okay, so there's more arguing with God. We're seeing a big thread here of saints arguing with God and complaining, however you want to say it. Matthew 26, beginning verse 31, on the way, Jesus told them, tonight all of you will desert me. For the scriptures say, God will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee to meet you there, and meet you there. Peter declared, even if everyone deserts you, even everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, Peter, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. You will deny three times that you even know me, sorry. You will deny me three times, deny three times that you even know me. No, Peter insisted, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And all the other disciples vowed the same. Okay, I just love this. Peter is used as examples what not to do. He's the one allowing himself to be humbled. And all the other disciples are probably too scared to say anything. Or Peter's just the one that speaks first. He's the outspoken one, of course, as we all know. But yet, we've already seen that Jesus makes Peter his rock. And he is the leader. So here's the leader of the group saying, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And it says all the other disciples vowed the same. So it's not like Peter's the exception of making this declaration. But he's the one being made an example of, because we know that Peter clearly denies him three times. So I just love to look at this man, Peter, very flawed as anybody is. He's not exceptionally flawed. He's just a man. And he has this conviction. He has this great faith in God. And yet we see him arguing. We see him contradicting God. And you know, Jesus, you know, says what he has to say. You're going to deny me. He just say, yes, you are. You know, Peter, he just let them go. Peter, sure enough, we see him denying Christ. And then Peter has a moment of bitter weeping, of course, as a result of knowing that what Jesus said was actually true. And we know that, of course, Peter was restored after that, giving him the chance to say, I love you three times after Jesus' resurrection. So